So what I want to do this morning is I want to open a door for you that I think that God has given us the key to unlock, to open it up so that you can see the potential that is out there in front of us. And to do that, I need to bring two things together this morning in closing out our stewardship series that are very important to us moving forward. The first one is we, this past year, walked through our core value series. Now, our core values are light the way, grow in truth, share life. And those three core values articulate what we as a church believe we find in Scripture. The things that God has said, I'm planting this church, my church here on this earth to accomplish these things. And so when we talked about light the way, we saw the evangelism and missions aspect of what Christ has given to the church, the Great Commission in telling us to go and to make disciples. And we do that by sharing his gospel, and the Holy Spirit works and people respond to that gospel message. And then you bring them into the church, and that's the grow in truth, the actual making of a disciple, of teaching them to obey all that God has commanded. So we see those two things in Scripture. And then share life, we know that that's scriptural as well, because we talked about the community, the church being the body of Christ, sacrificing for one another. As John says in his first letter, that we owe it to our brothers and sisters around them to lay down our lives for them, that what we do as a church is about others and serving one another and helping one another and walking through life together. And so those core values are not things that we made up. The core values are the way that we articulate what we know Scripture teaches the church is supposed to do. And so I want to take that this morning and remind you those things are biblical. Evangelism, missions, discipleship, strong biblical community. Those things come from Scripture. And then I want to also talk about what we've been seeing over the last 4 weeks in our stewardship series, where we have seen that this gospel, that Christ died to save sinners, that he sacrificed himself, gave up all, left heaven and came to this earth to live among people who hated him and to die so that you can have the forgiveness of your sins and can have eternal life because of his resurrection. And that gospel message, that gospel compels our generosity, that everything that we have comes from God, and God's expectation in giving us those things is that we are going to be generous, because that grace that saves us, that grace that provides that salvation, God's unmerited favor on our lives, we don't deserve it, and yet he gives it to us. He's generous towards us in giving us his son. That grace commands our generosity of all things that God has given us. And we connected that in our stewardship series and talking about our finances and being generous and giving to the kingdom of God. And that's what I want you to see, that is biblical. That this understanding of being a generous giver to the kingdom of God comes from Scripture. We laid that out for 4 weeks and looked at it. We looked twice at 2 Corinthians, where Paul really encouraged them in two chapters, chapters 8 and chapter 9, to be generous in their giving and participating in the work that God was doing. We've seen that from Scripture. So everything that we do, our core values, they come from Scripture. They come from the Word of God. Everything that we've seen about being a generous giver comes from the Word of God. And so this morning, I want to bring those two things together and help us begin to catch a kingdom vision. We touched on this last week, and catching a kingdom vision about what God wants to do here at Fairway Baptist Church. And I think that he's opening this door for us to see the potential that's there in front of us. And we have to understand, in order, God wants to do great things through you and through me. God wants to glorify himself through Fairway Baptist Church. And in order to do that, It's an amazing thing to look at Scripture and to realize what God has done. God has said to broken, sinful people like you and me, I want to use you to make myself known. I want to use you to reach this world. I want to use you to change the eternity of the people around you every day. I don't know why he's done that. It blows my mind to think that here's a God who could do it a lot better, in my thinking, if he did it on his own. And yet he has said, I'm doing this. You guys come and join me in the work that I am doing. Let me use you to reach the people that I want to reach. And so when God's opening that door and we're going to see the potential that's out there, I think what he's saying to us this morning is this: I want to do this great thing, and I want you to join me in doing it. And so we pull together our core values and we pull together our understanding of stewardship, and we're going to begin to see what it is, I think, that God is trying to ask us to be a part of this morning. And so I'm going to walk you through that. Let's just begin. We're going to be talking about our next steps in clearing the way. If you remember, we talked well over a year ago about clearing the way for the Lord. The passage was Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5. And there were three things that we said we were going to do and would always be a part of what we're doing when God is placing an opportunity in front of us. Does anybody remember what they are? Pray, prepare, and train. And we are looking at an opportunity before us for Fairway to continue to grow. And when you think about what God has called the church to do, he's called us to multiply. When you look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. What you see is multiplication. Christ placed his church on this earth for the purpose of multiplying disciples, and it has continued to multiply since his ascension. And it's supposed to continue to multiply until he comes back. And so what he's called us to do as a church means that it inherent in doing what he's called us to do is growth. It's to grow. It's to make disciples. We should want God to add more numbers to our church. Now, that's the key thing. I don't grow Fairway Baptist Church. You don't grow Fairway Baptist Church. God grows Fairway Baptist Church. Because to make a disciple, the Holy Spirit has to call that person to come to faith in Christ. That's his job. What he has entrusted with us is the proclamation of that gospel, of putting that gospel out for others to hear. And so what we have to do as a church, if we want to grow, number one, we have to be faithful to what God has called us to do. We have to be faithful to those core values that we see in Scripture, that they come from Scripture. They're not made up by leadership. They're what the Bible tells us we're supposed to be doing as a church. And so we are faithful to that vision. We're faithful to what God has called us to do. But then there's also another side to that. There's also the element of sacrifice. That generous giving of looking at the question, what more can I do? What more can I give in order to accomplish these things for God in light of the fact that Christ gave all for you and for me? And so when we think about growth, we think about our next steps in moving forward and clearing the way for God to be able to grow his church here at Fairway Baptist Church. Here are some things that I want us to keep in mind. Number one is this. We have to remain persistent in fulfilling the vision that God has given us. Here's what I mean by that. When people hear growth, quite often what they begin to think of is, oh great, the pastor's about to tell us we're going into a building program. He's fixing to build this big building so that there's space to put everybody. Well, what you're going to see is that sometimes space is necessary. You have to have space if you're going to grow. But what I want you to begin to think about is this. The building that you were sitting in, where you had your Bible study class this morning, the parking lot that you park on, the field that we have out back, everything that God has given us on this campus is simply a tool to accomplish the bigger thing. This is a tool to be used to accomplish the bigger thing. So what is the bigger thing? It's that evangelism and missions, making disciples and training and building them up here and sending them back out to do what God has called his believers to do. This is a tool for us to be used. And what I mean by that is the priority has to be the gospel. The priority has to be the proclamation of the gospel and reaching the lost with that word of hope. And in every decision that we make, in everything that we do here, that's the driving force that our leadership has. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that I will never lead you to compromise the proclamation of that gospel through evangelism, through missions, through giving in ways that help to do that for the sake of building a bigger building. This is going to be the priority in what we do. We have to remain persistent in that vision always, always driving that vision forward of taking the gospel to the lost. At the same time, since we've been talking about stewardship, we need to begin thinking about the stewardship of our campus, because all of this belongs to God, right? He has entrusted it to Fairway Baptist Church. And so there are things that we need to do in order to prepare our campus to receive the growth that I know that God wants us to have. Because we're supposed to be going out and making disciples. If we do that, if we're faithful to that vision and of proclaiming that gospel and reaching the lost, God will, He will be the one to add to our numbers. But in, we have to be ready to receive what God's going to give us. Are you with me? We have to be ready to receive what's going to come on this campus. And so there is a necessity for us to think about buildings and stewarding well what God has given us and using this campus in the best way possible. So that's the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning. How do we best utilize the campus that God has given us to reach the maximum number of people possible with what he has entrusted to us? This campus is only going to hold so many people. That's just the reality. I mean, the campus size is limited, the building space is limited, but what we have to do in stewarding this campus is we have to look at everything that we have and we have to ask the question, are we using it in a way that allows us to reach the maximum number of people that God's going, that God is, with what God has given us here with this current campus that we have? And there are some obstacles that we have to growth. And I want to share some of those things with you this morning. In preparing our campus, some of the things that we have to realize. Number one, let's just talk about our campus size. Depending on who I talk to and who I ask, it's anywhere between 3.5 acres, maybe 3.6 acres of land that we have here total. That's from fairway all the way to the back property line back here. There's dirt road that's running back into where they're building the new apartments. And so when you look at the campus size, that's what we have. We're boxed in. We can't buy any land around us because it's all built up or it's owned by someone else with future planning, all these types of things that are going on. We can't buy any more land. We're limited to that 3.5, 3.6 acres. Now, one of the things that we did back in December, and we did this through our state convention, the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, which I am so grateful for. And we talked a little bit about that last week with the cooperative program giving. When you give some of the resources that go to help with missions, well, part of what we give when it goes to the state convention, the convention provides us access to resources that help us plan different ministries and look at facilities and those types of things. And so they provided an architect to come here to our campus. He spent half a day with us walking around, looking and talking with us about possibilities and figures and numbers, and it did not cost us anything. You would have paid thousands of dollars for an architect to have spent half a day out here with us. And our state convention, because we cooperate with them in ministry and in giving, they provided for that man's travel and for his time here with us. And we learned a lot of interesting things from him. A lot of what we face as far as obstacles that we have to overcome if we're going to grow. And one of them is the size of our property. Here's why. With the campus size that we have right now, his figures, and he told us these different formulas that they use. He said, you can argue with them. People argue with them all the time. He says, they prove true over and over again. And the reality is, some of what he said, I've seen it firsthand. And it's just the way the numbers work. You're an American. You like space, don't you? You like space. You think about the homes that we have. If you've ever traveled internationally, or those of you that have lived in Europe, you might know what I'm talking about. Smaller spaces, right? Compared to the homes that we have here in the United States. We like space. And so one of the formulas that he gave us was that on a campus, you can expect to get 100 people per acre. So what does that limit us to on this campus size? About 350 people. That's if everything, all the land is usable. Some of what we have is not because of drainage. So we have to have some way for the water to run off of our campus. So maybe realistically, 325, 320-ish, it just depends on how all that plays out. But right now, we're looking at it being limited total number on campus. That's babies in the nursery through adults sitting here in the worship service this morning. That's the max that our campus will be able to hold us, about 325, 350. And so I want us to have that number in our mind, 350. That's kind of a target. We know that right now with the figures that we have that we can be reaching for that number. We can be going after that number, asking God to let us reach that many people and bring them onto this campus and make disciples of them. Our current attendance right now is about 200, give or take, plus or minus. If everybody's healthy, nobody has head colds, nobody has flu, nobody has stomach bugs, all the kids are healthy, everybody's here on campus, we hit about 200 plus. We've been averaging in here around 160, somewhere around there. And then you take the number of kids that we have in the back with workers back there and add it together. Pastor Thomas has been counting these numbers for us on Sundays. That's what we come out to, is an average of about 200 total on campus. Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about attendance and sitting in this worship service. I'm talking about everybody on our campus, right? So that's kind of where we sit. Everybody's healthy and everybody's here. So what do we need to do to break that barrier? Just keep knocking on doors, right? Keep inviting people to church, telling the people in the community about the exciting things that God is doing here. Well, there's one more barrier that we have to overcome before we can ever get to that point. We have an obstacle that we have to overcome. Parking. Now, we've talked about this some in the past, but in talking with the architect, some of the figures that he gave us kind of revealed to us where we were. Because as a staff and as leadership, we noticed end of last year, about September of October, we hit that 165 mark. I think we flirted with 170 maybe, but we never could break that, and it plateaued. And it stayed there all through the end of last year. And we went through the Christmas slump. People travel and they're gone. And we get to the new year and we get back now. And we've kind of come back up to that number and we've plateaued. And we've stayed right there. And the reason is because we don't have enough parking to get people on campus. His formula that he gives us is this. And other architects that I've talked to, other pastors that have gone through this problem that I've talked to have said the exact same thing. 2 persons per parking space. Just about 2 people per parking space. How many parking spots do we have on campus? We have 110. There's 104 general parking spaces and 6 handicapped parking spaces. What's the math on that come out to? That limits us to about 208 people. Because most of the time, the handicapped parking spots that we have aren't being used. But about 208 people. What's our campus total already? 200. You see where we are? We've hit that barrier. And so it's something that we have to get through. So we began thinking, okay, what do we do to improve parking, to make things a little bit better here on campus? And so with the reality that here we are, we've already maxed out our parking for the most part. The numbers that I gave you, 160 or so in service, 140 kids and workers in the back, we're around 200, right around there. So parking is already maxed out. So what do we do? So started looking at solutions for our parking. So one of the first ones that we came up with was we asked an asphalt company, a guy who does parking lots. We called several of them to get quotes. One guy came out here and was just amazing and spent a lot of time with us, multiple days talking with us about these possibilities, and got an aerial view of our campus and began looking at our current parking structure and wanted to try to do a new configuration. What we wanted to try to do was gain more parking spaces closer to the building, right? And so he starts looking at how he's going to configure this, and he had a plan to put in about 50 brand new parking spaces up close to the building. That plan included right here beside our sanctuary, making that a one-way so that you'd enter back here, you'd exit up there, and instead of the parking spaces facing one another like this, they would be angled. It included taking out the playground and adding some additional space there, doing some different angling in other places. Some of the grass lot area that we have out by the road, taking that out, putting in parking spaces there, and would have given us about 50 brand new parking spaces right up close to the building. Well, he starts exploring what this is going to cost and exploring what it's going to take to do this, and here's what we ran up against. We can't. There are certain city the codes that the city has and regulations that are in place within the city of Wichita Falls that won't allow us to do that new configuration. The right-of-way is a big one. To gain that many parking spots for it to be beneficial, we would have to have adjusted out here where we could have had parking on both sides. We can't go that close to the right-of-way. The city also has a code that you have to have so much green space per so much parking space. And so the green space that's out there can't go away. It has to stay because of the city code. And so there you go. That solution doesn't work for us. So that's not going to work. So what's the next obvious thing to throw out? We own the field, right? Let's just pave the field. So that was an option we started looking at, extending that field and paving it out there. Here's what we came up against when we started exploring that option. We own that field. It's a separate piece of property. There's a property line that goes right between our park, you know, between our current where we're sitting now and that piece of property that we own back there. That's not necessarily so much a big deal. We get an engineer, someone that knows what they're doing, to come out and look at it. They write up some type of report that says we want to get rid of that property line, and the property line's gone. But the next challenge is when the property line is taken away and it becomes one big piece of property. Now, before we can't just pave, an architect has got to come out. He's got to draw up plans according to city code, making sure we've got so much green space per parking space, making sure that whatever we do out there does not interfere with the drainage of the water that goes off and runs off of our property right down into that field. And then it's got to be submitted to the city. It's got to be approved by them, and then we can move forward with it. Now, if we were going to do parking, if we're going to do it, that's what we're going to have to do. But here's the thing. It cost us tens of thousands of dollars to go through all of that and having that architect come out and draw up just the plans for parking and then go through all that whole process. And it's going to take time. We're already up against that issue of parking. We've got to figure out a way to deal with it. And so while this is something long-term that we can look at, and I want you to hold on to this, because you're saying, you may be thinking to yourself, well, let's just get the architect out here and do it. I want you to hold on to that for a second, and you'll see why we've decided we want to hold off on that. And so for right now, in this moment, that is not necessarily a solution for us. So what is the solution? What are we going to do? Here's the things that we're suggesting that we do for parking. Number one, we're going to park in the field as it is. The church right across the street from us parks in a grass field. There are other churches in the city that have a grass field that people park in. And so while we were concerned, well, maybe the city wouldn't like it, all of a sudden we start seeing people parking in a grass field because we just never paid attention to it before. And so next question I had was, well, what if it rains? Are you going to get stuck if you drive out there and park in the field? We had almost 24 hours of rain at the beginning of last week, remember? And the next morning, Brian and I walked out on that field. And it is, after 24 hours worth of rain, it is solid for any vehicle to park on it. Now, you can't go out there and gun the gas, right? You got to roll onto the field, park, and be able to get out. So even with rain, our field is still good enough for you to park in as it is. And so we're just going to start asking you to park in that field. Now, those of you that aren't able to do so, and because it is a walk, then we understand that. But for those of us that are able to do it, I want you to start parking out there in the field. Now you're probably going to look and say, well, you know, I don't need to park out there because if I start parking out there, our parking lot's going to start looking empty. We want space in the parking lot. We are not going to see an immediate response to this. In other words, you're not going to park in the field and then the next Sunday the parking lot's full. But the idea is, this is our home. We invite people to come to our home every week when we have a worship service, and we want to be hospitable. And so as this is our home and you're members of the family, to make room for guests that are coming, for people that are looking for a church, for the lost that we reach, and to give them the opportunity to be closer to the building, those of you that are able to do it, park in the field. Now, if you have children and moms and dads, dad, if you're able, drive mom up. Drop her and the kids, help them get out of the car, and then go park in the field if you need to. And so that's an immediate thing that we can do. We can start parking in the field and opening up parking spaces closer to our building. The next thing that we can do is park down here at the Home Builders Association. If you don't want to park in the field, now everybody can't park over there because it's a very limited space. When you pull into that parking spot, there's a concrete area right up next to the building that belongs to the Home Builders Association. We have a good relationship with them. They've used our parking lot, and the lady that works there and runs the building, has told us you can park here anytime that you like, and I know people from Fairway have done it in the past. The asphalt parking lot with the striped parking spaces in it belongs to someone else. We haven't talked with them yet. So I can't stand here and tell you to park in that parking spot, those parking spaces. I can't stand up here and tell you to park in those parking spaces. But we know the Home Builders Association will allow us to park over there. And so what we want is to ask, if you're not going to park in the field, to park there. We want to open up this campus for our guests that are going to be coming here in anticipation of this growth as well. The next thing that we're going to do is you're going to see in the future, moving ahead, you're going to see guest parking spaces being designated out there, probably right alongside where the playground is, so that we have places open for them to be able to park. So we want to make a way for them to be able to park and to park up close to the building and designate those parking spots. The last thing which we are going to be launching a little bit more of here in the months ahead is a parking ministry team. We asked some of you to sign up for this back in August when we did Get in the Game Sunday. And this parking ministry team is going to be trained and it will understand how to help our guests when they get there and how to get them on campus. We're actually having someone come we're going to have signs that we're going to put out by the road that point to parking, that invite people in and especially designate where our guest parking is so they know how to get into our campus. And so that will be launching. If that's something that you're interested in helping with a little bit more and you want to get involved in that, let us know. So these are the solutions that we're looking at putting in place that solve our parking problem right now. That first one, start parking in the field. The second one, park over at the association if you can. The third one, we're going to put up a way to make sure we've got guest parking places that are designated. And just as a church family, we're going to respect those spaces and leave them open for guests. Those will be closer to the building. And then the last thing is getting that parking ministry team up and running, to be out there to help those guests when they come in and to even be able to help those of us that park in the field. We want to make sure that if you are helping us and sacrificing and giving that and giving of your time that way to have to walk across campus, that we've got some help there for you if you need that as well. All right, so we deal with the parking. We take care of the parking solution. And what that allows us to do is to get people on our campus, right? So we make a way for the parking lot. People are able to get on our campus. So what is the next obstacle that we face? The next obstacle that we're going to face is right here where you're sitting this morning is in seating. Now, here's a rule that's out there when it comes to space in churches. It's the 80% rule. That whatever your max capacity is in your seating area, you can expect to grow to 80% of that seating space. Right now, here in our church, we have 57 pews, and if you take 5 people per pew, that's a maximum of 285 people. Now, you can say, well, we can get more than 5 people on a pew. I have looked at pictures since this building was built back in the 1970s all the way through to today and have stood up here and consciously looked to see how many people sit per pew. Take a look around you. You love your space, don't you? 5 per pew. That's about what it comes out to. That's about what will comfortably sit. See, even some of you now are shifting around. Yeah, so for us to think about growth, if we think about that 80% rule, here's what, and you know, you could say, well, we can get over that. We can scrunch in. We can do that. You and I are willing to do that because we're a church family, right? We love each other and we don't mind that close quarters contact, right? We kind of like that, right? You'd sacrifice to do that for the kingdom of God though, wouldn't you? Even though you like your space. But here's the problem. Guests and visitors, they don't think that way. They're not part of us yet. We want them to be part of us. We want them to catch the vision that God has given us and be a part of the work that God is doing here. But when they come and visit, you want your guests at home to be what? Comfortable, right? And we want guests when they come here to be comfortable. And while we could push the envelope and we could get to that 80%, what's going to happen is even if we go over it, because I've experienced this personally in ministry. You get to that 80% and you stretch over it some, and then you get up there and then it just starts to decline. And so you hit this plateau and decline. And that's just, if you don't solve the problem, that's what you have is a plateau and decline. Plateau and decline, because people are going to go, it's just too crowded. And they'll go somewhere else where they feel more comfortable. And so we have to be mindful of that when we're thinking about moving forward and wanting to grow and fulfill the vision that God has given us and to prepare this campus for it. And so that 5 per pew thing is just not going to work out for us. So what's going to be the solution? All right, so there's the maximum capacity that we could get to at 80% with our current setup with pews is 225. So what's the solution for us to get beyond that? Remember, the max that our campus can hold from nursery all the way through, we're thinking right now is 350, right? So we want to try to increase our capacity here in the sanctuary. So what do we do? What's the solution for that? Chairs. It's a crazy thing. You take one big bench and ask people to sit on it, and only 5 people are going to sit there. But if I put 7 or 8 chairs in a row, psychologically, that 21 inches of space is yours, right? That's your 21 inches of space. And you're more likely to sit on that than you are squeezing in next to someone on a pew that's already got 4 or 5 people on it. Increasing the chairs actually makes sense for us, and it gives us some other options. Look at this. So if we were to do 400 chairs in here, which is what we've counted up about what we can put in this sanctuary, if we took the pews out and put chairs in, we can do about 400 in here at 80%. That gives us 320 maximum at 80% here, right? We'd have 400 max, but 320 at 80% to be able to get to that here in our worship. Our total on campus is about 350, right? This 400 seating in here leaves us a lot of space for things like Easter Sunday, when we can expect, or we should expect, a higher number of people here. But this allows us to get to an 80% of about 320, which is pushing that 350 total space on our campus. Now, what chairs will also allow us to do is to do some different configurations in here. It will even allow us to do a center aisle. For those that want to have weddings in here, and want a center aisle wedding, we'll be able to do that. If there are certain things that we want to do with different programs and services, we can set it up different ways. It gives us so many more options that we can do. So we take care of the parking, then we take care of the seating space by moving forward with chairs. The next obstacle that we're going to face, now this is one that comes further down the road. This is not something that's pressing. This is not something that we are like, okay, we got to find a solution to this right now, because we have some space that's available. As we grow, it's not going to be just the worship time that grows. Our discipleship ministries are going to grow, and that's going to include our children. It's going to include our youth. It's going to include our adults. And as all those ministries grow, guess what you have to do when ministries grow? You got to give them more space. You got to find more classrooms. We have some room to grow in that right now, so that's not a major issue. But what's going to happen is this. Some of the space that we have, like the unused classrooms in the FLC, those spaces are too small for what we want to do with classrooms. And so we're going to have to begin to think through what is the best solution for maximizing our Bible study space. So those are three obstacles that we face. Two of them that I think we need to deal with right away: the parking situation, because we just can't get anybody else on campus. And then the seating, because when we get people on campus, we want them to have a place to be able to sit and to be comfortable and to feel welcome here. So what are we going to do moving forward? What are the steps that we're going to take in moving forward? Well, here's what we do. The first thing is this. Remember what I said from the beginning. We are going to persist in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and putting our resources towards that, and motivating and training and moving you to be mobilizers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We will not sacrifice the vision of Light the Way, Grow in Truth, Share Life, the things that we see from Scripture that the church is supposed to be doing for the sake of building a building. And then the next thing that we're going to take, next step, is we're going to initiate that parking solution. We're going to put it in place. You're going to begin to see that. I'm asking you this morning, those of you that are able and who can, park in the field. Park at the Home Builders Association. Open up those spaces for guests to come on our campus. And the other things you will begin to see in the parking will come in place. The signage, the parking lot team, those things will be coming in place. Our worship center remodel is going to continue. We're going to finish out the stage. We're waiting on quotes from carpet to come in, looking at prices on chairs, all of those types of things to finish our worship center remodel. Then another element that's going to come into play that the elders have decided on is we're going to do what's called master planning of this facility. Because we know as we grow, we're going to face obstacles. What we don't want is we don't want to get to a point where we get to where we're hitting another obstacle like we are with parking right now. We want to have a plan in place to be able to work around or through whatever obstacles come in front of us as we grow. Bible study space is going to be one of those. What we're asking is for an architect to come on this campus and to look at all that we have, all that God has given us, and help us discern what is the best way to use our facilities moving forward and being prepared to receive growth. That's one of the reasons that I don't think it's wise for us to just go ahead and pave that field. I'd hate for us to spend tens of thousands of dollars on paving that field and the architect come back with a plan that says you can better utilize your space if you do this instead of parking. So we spent tens of thousands of dollars, and now he's got a suggestion that's going to help us better utilize the space that he's given us. I have no idea what this looks like, because we haven't talked to him yet. It might mean that he comes in and he tells us, total remodel of everything that we have, just freshen everything up, tear down some walls, make some use for some other space. It may mean that his recommendation for us is, let's tear this building down and let's build this because it's going to better suit what you're going to be doing and what you're moving towards in the future and reaching that, maximizing this campus to reach those 350 people. I have no idea what this is going to look like, and we won't until we talk with him. And so that's something that we think is long-term that we have to do in order to be ready to receive that growth that God is going to be giving to us in the years ahead. What's the last thing, next step for us? It's what we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. Is giving generously to God's kingdom vision here at Fairway. Listen, we've talked a lot about facilities this morning. We've talked a lot about space. We've talked a lot about buildings. But I want you to hear my heart, and I want you to hear what I'm asking you to see and to grab hold of. The vision that God has given us is biblical. It comes from Scripture. Everything that God has entrusted with us, stewardship of these facilities, all of that comes from Scripture. I'm not standing up here and asking you to build a building. I'm asking you to invest in the kingdom of God and to understand that even these buildings and the properties that we have are tools to be used to advance that gospel message in this city. He has planted Fairway Baptist Church in Wichita Falls. He has preserved this church. He has left us here for a great purpose. And I believe that in the days ahead, God wants to manifest His glory through you and through this body here at Fairway Baptist Church in ways that we could have never imagined. And I know that God wants to do all of that, but I also know that God is saying in order for that to happen, there's two things that we have to do. We have to remain faithful to that vision of proclaiming the gospel, being persistent in it, faithful to it. And then we have to, as we remember, grace commands our generosity, that the gospel compels us to be generous. And we think about that with our finances. We have to realize it's not just our faithfulness in doing and going, but it's also our sacrifice in being willing to give. Now, we can do all of these great things if the resources are there for us to do it. And as leadership, we're having to pray through stewardship of what we have, because right now there are resources that are available to us that are outside of our budget. We have a building fund that is set aside for these types of things, but it's limited in the amount that we have there. And so everything that we've been doing here has been coming from that building fund. It has not come out of our budget. And so what I'm going to ask you to do in thinking through how much more can I give, how much more can I do in light of what Christ has done, the fact that He has given all for me, what I'm asking you to do is the same thing I have been asking you as a family, as an individual, to consider over the last 4 weeks. In giving to, number one, meet the weekly needs that we have here at Fairway Baptist Church. I want to praise you this morning, church, and thank you for the fact that over the last 2 weeks, you seem to be responding to God's word in the stewardship series that we've been going through, because we've met or exceeded our weekly giving in the last 2 weeks. And I want to thank you for that. You're listening to God, not me. I'm praying that you're hearing the voice of God through all this and catching the vision that He's trying to get us to see. And I want to encourage you in that. The same thing that we've been saying for those of us that are faithfully giving and just having a genuine conversation with God. Remember, this can't be a command. This can't be a legalistic thing. This is a matter of the heart. In light of the gospel, what is God saying to me and to my family? How much more can we give? How much more can we do? And I'm encouraging you to have that conversation with God as a family. And seeing this greater vision of reaching the lost and God entrusting Fairway Baptist Church with more disciples. Because we have to continue to give to meet that weekly budget so that all the logistics and everything that we do in planning of the ministries that go on here that you and I benefit, that my family and your family benefit from, that has to be there so that we can continue to fulfill that gospel mission. And beyond that, these things that we want to do in updating facilities, that's going to require extra sacrifice on our part. It's going to require that from us. God wants us to join Him in doing that work. But we have to meet with Him individually and decide what He's asking us to do in order to make this become a reality on this campus. There's a lot of things that we want to do in upgrading. The priority is parking and seating space. We're going to take care of those things. In remodeling in here, there are other things. We want to make our campus more welcoming and warm. And so there are other things that we want to do. The sound in here needs to be dealt with needs to be done different. The soundboard that we have in the back is approaching 10 years old. And some of that technology is getting out of date. And so we got a quote this past week from a sound man who's going to come in here, can redo the sound, can put up lighting in here that will allow us to do some different things. All that he wants to do in helping us update that sound system brings it up to about $29,000 just for the sound system. Parking out here is going to cost us tens of thousands of dollars if we ever move in that direction. So these are all things. I don't want you to look at these as obstacles and go, man, how are we ever going to do that? I want you to look at these obstacles that are there and see and realize that God has opened a door and put an opportunity in front of you and me to join him in the work that he's doing, because none of these things are insurmountable. These things can be overcome, and we can join together and do these things and see God glorify himself through these opportunities that look to us to be so difficult. But God owns everything, doesn't he? And God has a greater plan than anything that we can know and see and trust right now in our own eyes. And so we have to trust his plan. And we have to catch this vision that what we're asking us as a church family to sacrifice and to give to is to grow the kingdom of God, not to build a building. That's what I want you to see this morning. That's what I want you to see. We want to see God's glory manifested through you and through me here at Fairway Baptist Church. Now, how does that work? Well, I want you to remember. Do you remember our passage from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5? A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These things that are in front of us, the parking, the seating, the cost of all of these things, these are mountains, these are hills, these are rough places. These are things that we have the power within ourselves to overcome and clear the way, make these things straight so that God's glory can be revealed. And I want to encourage you this morning to see that. That's what God wants. He wants to work through you and through me to reveal his glory. Don't look at these obstacles. Let's look past them. Let's see what God wants to do. And let's say to him, we'll join you in doing that.